staring at the beauty of the king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our king. May we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our.
Hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God. Welcome, welcome. Good to always have you there, knowing, you know, that we're going to have a great time again today. Praise God, praise God. Welcome to your morning energizer. It's the morning faith boost, and yippee, we are, you know, on the second episode of this beautiful, beautiful, you didn't miss yesterday, did you? Oh, just in case you did. You got to listen to it, all right? We're on the second episode of this beautiful new series, What Do You See? And very beautiful, very beautiful. And yep, Amanda Cook's song, May We Live, is just a beautiful one for this episode, you know? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God, God. All right. Now, what we're dealing with is you might want to call it perspective, or you might want to call it what else now? God asked Jeremiah, and we looked at that yesterday, Jeremiah chapter 1, and God said, hey, what do you see? What do you see? All right, he said, I see the branch of an almond tree, and God said to him, you've seen well. You've seen well. So it's important to know what you're seeing. It's important to know how well you are seeing it. You need to get this, all right? It's important to know, okay, what am I seeing? Okay, how well am I seeing what I'm seeing? So God said to Jeremiah, just a quick recap, what do you see? We looked at Numbers 13, all right, 30 to 33, all right, the story of the 12 spies, you know, 10, mistakenly said 11 yesterday. Of course, I'm sure you knew that must have been a slip. All right, so 10 of them came back with evil report. But when God said it was evil report, it wasn't because they came and told a lie. Evil report was because they came and said something contrary to what God was saying. They came, all right, they described everything they saw. Listen, guys, they saw the giants. They saw the giants for real. Joshua and Caleb also saw the giants for real. So giants were real. The issue is, okay, what do you see? Okay, how do you see what you see? How do you describe it? What's your definition of what you see, you know? What do you see, you know? So Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, we saw them, but hey, these guys are bred for us. Come on, we're able to go up and just take these people. Let's just go at once. And the rest of them said, no. Hey, we see ourselves, or we saw ourselves there as grasshoppers. And we know that's how they saw us. So they didn't just see giants, they now began to see themselves as dwarfs, you know, less than dwarfs. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Like, these guys are going to thump us. These guys are going to ride over us. They're going to defeat us, devour us. And that's it. So they saw. And then how they saw it was a negative. Joshua and Caleb saw how they saw it was positive. But like I said yesterday, and it bears repetition, please, this is not all about positive confession. No. All right, this is not just hyping yourself, you know, overtly being optimistic, you know, even when things are bad. I've been trained to just say things are good and keep a smile on my face. No, you could learn that psychologically, you could learn that humanly and not know it from God's word. You have to come over to God's word. You have to act on God's word. In Acts chapter 19, there was this case, all right, the seven sons of one man called Sceva. Okay, they were exorcists. Well, he was an exorcist primarily. And then, you know, exorcism is basically, you know, yanking out demons. We are not exorcists, okay? We cast out demons. But there are people who are exorcists. They use mediums. They use things to get demons out. Okay, we use the name of Jesus to cast out demons. People try to say, oh, that's exorcism. As long as you're casting out a demon. Well, Bible doesn't use that word for us. We cast out demons. We are believers, use authority, right? Authority in the name of Jesus, and we cast out demons. So these guys, all right, they were Jews, not born again. Now, you need to get this. So they go, and I'm sure most of you might know the story. So they met a particular demon, you know, possessed person, and they said, hey, we adjure you, all right, by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Okay, and then the demon spoke up through the person. Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? Some might say, oh, maybe because they were not, you know, solid as Christians. I don't know. Bible didn't call them believers, all right? They were exorcist Jews, all right? Not born again. Bible didn't call them believers, didn't call them brethren. Just said exorcist Jews. So you find out that they were trying to act on something that Paul was doing by revelation, and they didn't even have Jesus as their personal foundation. So you don't just do something, and that's what, you know, a lot of people do. But you might say, oh, but I know people who confess positively and it works. Yes, the law of confession, God made it, and God made it universal. You get that? The law of confession, the fact that you have what you say. So that's even when you were not born again, you could have said certain things, and then it came to pass. It happened to you. You know, so yes, however, I'm telling you that there's a higher degree which you now being born again have come into. And that's now you understanding the reality of the greater one within you, the reality of your new nature and the new creation, and then your authority that stems from that. So what you say, having a revelation of God's word, is way more stronger, more solid, much more powerful than someone who just picked up words or not even God. So you say, well, let me just say great things. Even many believers that lack a revelation of God's word have just spoken, all right, and then been disappointed. So it's not enough to say, oh, well, it's just positive. All I'm saying, you know, is this is beyond positive confession. This is beyond trying to sound positive. Just keep a smile. No. James chapter 1, for instance, verse 2 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, which means trials and tests. It says, knowing that the trying of your faith will work out patience. So he says, count it. This is perspective. What do you see? So James says, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of the big issues against you, even in the midst of trials, challenges, things seem tough, what do you see? What do you see? So James says, count it all joy. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy. It means set your perspective. Set your perspective. Set your perspective. Count it all joy. So someone could say, oh, life is horrible. Things are bad. I'm just draining out. I'm not fine right now. Things are not okay with me. You know, someone could do all that. James says, no, set your perspective. Count it all joy. Are you getting this now? Because how you see it, all right, not just what you see. I see trouble, but how do you see the trouble? James says, see it as joy. Now, someone could pick that up and just, well, without even knowing it, just says, let me keep a smile on my face. Let me keep a smile on my face. And then you could drown doing that without acting on God's word. Are you clear on what I'm saying? It's important to know what the word is saying. It's important to act on the word. I'll say that again. It's important to know, please, it's important to know what the word is saying. It's important also to act on the word. Maybe I say it one more time. It's important to know what the word is saying. It is very important to act on God's word. So three things again is, three things, all right? Number one, what do you see? Number two, how do you see what you're seeing? What's your perspective about it? Number three is, how well do you see it? How well? Now, we looked at Elisha yesterday, all right, with his servant, and then they were surrounded. Elisha said, hey, more are they that are with us than they that are with them. And so Uncle Phil, hey, that sounded nice. This is not about sounding nice. Elisha spoke by revelation, and Elisha simply said, God, open his eyes. God, open his eyes. He needs to see it. And God opened the eyes of the young man, Bible says, and then he saw, all right, that they were surrounded by horses and chariots of fire. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. In Mark chapter 8, the 23rd verse of Mark, we'll pick it from, well, I'll just use King James. And he took the blind man, that's Jesus now, right? He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Do you get that? Jesus lays hands on the blind man and asks, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Verse 25, after that, Jesus put his hands on him again, in his eyes again, and made him look, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So basically, we find our 3 points here. Number one, Jesus asks, so what do you see? All right. And the man said, well, I see men as trees. That means he could see. All right. But how could you see it? Can you see? Yes, I can. How can you see? Well, I only see men as trees. That means he could see, but he couldn't see well. He couldn't see well enough. So Jesus had to lay hands on him. And do you get that now? So what do you see? How do you see it? How well do you see? The man could see. His eyes were open. He was blind now. He could see, but not well enough. Not well enough. And this, for me, shows an increase in revelation. Haven't you realized that there were certain things you believed a number of years ago? Now you know better. No, I don't mean they were wrong now. You know, it's changed. I mean, oh, you knew it, but now you know it in a fuller dimension. You've come to know it in a better way. You've come to understand. I mean, you're full. You're like, oh my goodness, what I thought I knew was like kindergarten stuff. Now I'm richer, I'm fuller, I'm clearer. Now you see better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now you see better. And yes, there were things you argued about a couple of years ago, maybe a couple of months ago, and then you're like, did I ever argue about this? Oh my goodness, that was so silly of me. I shouldn't have done that, you know? And then you're like, oh, I see better now. I know better now. So it happens every single day. And then you and I must, please, must. All right. Oh, guys, there's this beautiful story we got to read. And we got to read it like right now. I just love the character David. And it's important that we see exactly, dear Lord, First Samuel 17, you're right. You know the story. 1 Samuel 17, David is anointed by Samuel, all right, in 1 Samuel and 16, all right? So 1 Samuel 17, David is asked by his dad to get to the war front, okay, to get some food to his brothers. And then, he's wondering, who's this big old dude, you know, making so much noise? Guys, this story is filled with, once again, who you call it, perspective. It's full here, seriously. You know, so it's 1 Samuel 17 and 32. Then David said to Samuel, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. That's him, Goliath. Your servant will go up and fight this Philistine. Remember, everybody backed off. All right. David says, I'm going to kill this dude. Saul said to David, you are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you were a youth and a man of war, and he's a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, and I love this. I mentioned this all right yesterday. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it, struck it, delivered the lamb out of its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God. I love 37. All right, David says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David is setting perspective. All right, David set the perspective so much that King Saul said, go and the Lord be with you. David set perspective. I know you might be facing something big. Now, listen to how David ended it. The Lord who delivered me. This is not just sheer willpower. This is not just sheer, once again, it's not just sheer optimism. No, this is faith. This is covenant-based faith. This is knowing the word and having a revelation of God's word. Oh, that our eyes may open to see. That's what's going on here. The entire army of the nation of Israel saw a big old dude that will smash them. David saw one uncircumcised Philistine that has set himself up for destruction. Who are you to talk against God's people like that? Don't you know you're about to die? Don't you know this thing you're doing is you setting yourself up for destruction? Whoever blesses us is blessed, guy. Whoever curses us is cursed. Now you're cursing us. Now you're going to die. And then I'm going to be the one with the privilege to kill you. David understood covenant. Guys, we cannot just be... Listen. We can't just live like it. We're different from everybody else. Our relationship, all right, with life must be from the perspective of God's word. I'll say that again. Our relationship with life must be from the perspective of God's word. We can't just, say stuff. We can't just, no. In Isaiah 55, and we'll look at that a lot better tomorrow. In Isaiah 55, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I will read it better tomorrow, but let me just make reference to it. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God is simply saying there's a higher perspective. And guys, the highest perspective from which to view anything, yourself, your circumstance, whatever it is, please hear this. The highest perspective is God's perspective. Don't forget, God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, I see the branch of an almond tree. God said, you've seen well. The 10 spies came back. They mentioned what they saw. God said, evil report. So it's not enough to describe what you see. You have to describe it from God's perspective. Now, but that's, at this point, some would wonder, can we just face reality when we describe things? You put now start making us feel like we're so carnal. It's not just reality. It's not just how things are. Okay, child of God, 4 times in the Bible. All right, in Habakkuk, in Romans, in Galatians, in Hebrews, the Bible clearly says the just shall live by faith. Did you get that? And then 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So you are to conduct your affairs as a child of God by faith. That means your perspective, all right, is to be defined by the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All right. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Okay. So that means as a believer, you don't take steps based on what you see. You take steps based on what you hear. Hear by, I'm using ear, like hearing or faith. All right. Which eventually what you hear affects what you see. I remember I met someone that was seriously in pain. All right. Seriously in pain. And suddenly the person begins to talk about dying. Is it because the person initially wanted to die? No. But the pain began to trigger thoughts. The pain began to trigger fear. The pain began to trigger uncertainty till the person began to feel, maybe I should just die. It might just be better to die. Let me just leave this place. Oh, well, the person starts struggling. Oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die like this. Why? Because of how the person is, you know, interpreting experiences. Now, someone else could be in that same format and say, give me the word. I know I feel feel horrible, but just pump me with more word. Pump me with more word. What's he or she trying to do? Change perspective by changing what he or she is hearing. Faith will come by hearing. Faith will come by hearing. So the highest perspective is God's viewpoint. Highest. I mean, God was the one who said to Jeremiah, you have seen well. And it was the same God that said, all right, about the 10 spies, this is unbelief. So God is the ultimate judge of what we say. No wonder in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said that you'll be condemned by the words you speak. You'll be justified by the words you speak. So guys, it's not enough to say something. Don't just be that free spirit person, as it were, you know, I just say whatever comes to me. No, you could be wrong in doing that. You could be wrong in how you describe your situation, how you define your situation. So David set so much perspective that King Saul said, listen, go, God is with you. I need to skip over now to the 42nd verse. This is beautiful stuff. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. That we may see, all right? See beyond situations and circumstances. See into God's word. See into the reality of things in the name of Jesus. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. May be enlightened. Oh, hallelujah. If you can, could you just maybe talk in tongues like 30 seconds? Glory to God. Kasa tala bosa makabora banda kala kabosa. Oh, mendo kura basa tala ban pradagadasa. Oh, meno non goduso vende guso vere kiske bon frodo godoso. Haya kadasa. Oh, mena nam parakada. That our eyes will be flooded with light. Kabasa tala. Mendo kura basantelege bosa. Manto nombosu se binka bonfra ragadasa. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that our eyes of understanding may be flooded. Flooded with light. Flooded with light. So the 42nd verse, all right? Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, I'm sure he was maybe trying to look for the guy himself. All right, when he looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Hey, war. War has started. Listen, it's a war of words. All right, you know, before anything, any sword or shield was lifted here, the battle began, the battle ended. All right, many times, you know, we keep quiet and let things go wrong. No, it's a war of words. You have to take authority. You have to resist. You have to refuse. You have to put your foot down. You have to set perspective, even to the devil. you know, you have to, you quote the word of God. Jesus said to him, it is written. He just is saying, this is my own perspective. This is how I see what I see. All right. It is written. It's my viewpoint. So you set perspective. All right. If it's about finances, go to God's word. And we're going to deal with that, you know, before we end. You know, we have to, what does the scripture say about finance? What does the scripture say about protection? What does scripture say about preservation? What does scripture say about long life? You have to, and then you set your perspective from God's word. Oh, thank you, Lord. So let's, it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You know, he said, am I a dog that he come to me with sticks, you know? All right. And the Philistine cursed him by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beast of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, you know, with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. War started, guys. Words are being exchanged. All right, don't forget, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You use words to fight this battle. 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save. Please listen to this. We'll know that the Lord does not save, all right, with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. So it was when the Philistine arose, please, you got to hear this. It came to pass that when the Philistine arose and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Kai, oh, thank you, Lord. David wasn't just mounting something. David was full of revelation. Oh, that our eyes of understanding may be flooded. Flooded with revelation of on our authority. Flooded with revelation on who we are in Christ. Flooded, 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 flooded. Hallelujah. Flooded, flooded, but it means also we need to give attention to this truth. You need to take time to think about this truth. You need to give attention to it. You can't just pray, oh God, flood my eyes with understanding, and maybe you're not picking up a book that talks about something or meditating on a verse. You know, don't be careless about this. David was full of it. It wasn't just talk and no action. Full of it. I mean, the Philistine just drew near and David ran towards him. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of his sheath and killed him, and David cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel, this is exciting. All right, I gotta stop and round off here. I mean, I just love David. It was full. It was bold. It was bold. He charged towards the Philistine. Someone is charging. Listen, you will charge towards that thing in front of you. It looks big. It looks great. But when the light of God shines within you, your boldness increases. Your boldness will increase. And then you will charge. People wonder, is he blind? Is she blind? How come she's just charging towards that thing? Oh, it will sink her. That project is too big for her. Oh, that stuff is too great. Oh, that business idea won't work. Oh, that mission trip, or that ministry might fail. And then they watch you rise. Everybody only sees the steps you take. But listen, they do not see the revelation that is motivating you. They only see the action. They don't see the revelation that drives you from within. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. They don't see the revelation driving you. You do not be carried away with mere action. Be moved by revelation. Abraham did not get out of his father's house because he felt like changing location. He got out of his father's house because God spoke to him. Gideon wasn't trying to face the Midianites because he just woke up and felt, enough is enough, enough is enough. He did that because of a revelation that the angel brought to him. David did the things David did by revelation. Don't just try to wake up and say, someone did it, I will do it. Now, sometimes it's the Holy Ghost staring you that way and say, listen, you could do it too. 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 I know. But let's be a people of revelation. Let's be a people of revelation. Don't forget what David prayed All right. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things in your word. Psalm 119, you know, and the 18th verse. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. When you begin to hear great stuff and see great stuff and perceive great stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That our eyes may see. That our eyes may be flooded. Flooded. Flooded with light. Flooded with revelation. That our eyes may be flooded. Oh, thank you, Lord. With the reality of the greater one on our inside. Oh, grant us revelation, Father. Oh, thank you. And he has granted us by his spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord, because we're filled with light in the name of Jesus. Light, thank you, Father, because you stay in the heart of my listeners this morning. Fire, revelation, quickening in your hearts, a revelation of your word, a revelation of who they are in Christ, even as they go into your word and think on your word, that they will be sparked off to life by your spirit. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. So like David, we walk by revelation. Like David, we charge towards every giant. By David, we see the giants. But how do we see them? We see them as bread. We see them as things that have fallen down because they have defiled the word and the work of God in our lives. Amen. So have a victorious, super, super victorious day. I look forward to us hanging out again tomorrow. Blessings.
Child staring.